Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be here this morning, and for those that have turned on their, I call them machines now, right now the name is gone, but anyhow, their little gadgets to be able to live watch this, we bid you this morning a hearty welcome also to this morning's service. And may you find the grace of God and the peace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to be present in your life. And not just for this moment or for this hour, but in the days to come is my wish and prayer for all of us. Beautiful songs. Thank you to the team that led us in song here this morning. Just to hear a new song and the beautiful words in there, how true and how powerful a soul winner for Jesus. You know, when I look at these words and I'm really, again, very appreciative of that you brought a song out like you did. Am I a soul winner? Am I one? Do I do that? Do I go out and live my life so I can win other souls because of my lifestyle? Can people see that I enjoy where I am and whose citizen I am? Whose name I carry in my life? Am I one that others can look at me and say, wow, I wish I had that, that they had that longing? It's always nice when we can have somebody to look up to. And we can look at someone and say, hey, I desire to have that joy that that person has. So my wish and prayer is, if you're out there and you feel like you could have, you would want that, call upon the Lord. He has gifts. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12. There's gifts available. And he says we can long earnestly. The last verse talks about how we can long for, desire to have more of those gifts than what we just have. And so if you feel that you don't have that gift to win souls, we can pray for that, as Paul says, and long for that. Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning is a new morning. We have never lived to be this to this day. We have never experienced this day in our life. And God, we don't know what's ahead of us through this day, if we have life and breath here on earth. But one thing I do know, and I know many others know, that there's eternity. And then I'm just thinking of this song, A Soul Winner. Lord, my desire is for so many that don't believe and don't trust the book called the Bible, the word that is in there saying that there's eternity. And there's a place called heaven, and there's a place called hell. Heaven is an eternal life away from all pain and all sorrow. A place of peace. A place of being in the light and in the glory of God forever and ever. But hell is also a real place. And it's not up above. It's in the depths. It's in the darkness. And it's an everlasting fire. No quenching of water. The heat and the torment forever. God help that the message today that will be spoken, that it will be not mine, but it will be yours to speak to the soul that so much needs your word in their life. And that it would bring forth fruit of repentance, a change of heart, a born-again person, and then be also part of the group of being soul winners for you. I pray for your blessing upon us today. Be your present, Lord, with your spirit, and guide us with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, my message was on heaven. For many of you that had listened in or were part of it too, you've maybe remember some of that. I suppose We can all say that we get nudged, right? And I was nudged by the Spirit to speak about heaven. Do I believe there is a heaven? Yes, I do. And so I felt for myself, I needed to really dig in deep. And there's even a lot more to dig into, to actually find even deeper things about heaven. And I will not touch on all of them, but I want to briefly just go back a little bit what I spoke about last Sunday and then continue. Paul in 1 Corinthians, excuse me, I should say 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, Paul writes these words, and these are the texts that I had last Sunday, and I want to use them today again. It is it not expedient for me to doubtless to glory? I will come in visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And then he says, I knew of such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul, seeing the third heaven. Paul, seeing paradise. And as I went on, I spoke about the first and the second heaven, where Genesis 1, verses 14 to 17 speak about the second heaven. And Genesis 1, verse 20, speaking about the first heaven. And how we refer to God, and when we pray our Father, which art in heaven. And so I briefly touched on the first, second, and third heaven. And I went on and asked the question, is there anything precious in heaven? Is there anything there that we feel has value? Number one, our Redeemer. Our Redeemer has gone to heaven to prepare a place. And number two, relationships to us, relatives, family members, those that have repented and are born again Christians and have passed on are in heaven. Precious people that are there already. I missed a step that I spoke about last Sunday. What is in heaven? There's a place. There's a mansion. There's a place that is prepared for prepared people. And then we may ask, where is heaven? Heaven is up. Heaven is up. And there's one thing that I realized that I did not speak about last Sunday, and I just want to touch on that briefly this morning. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, Isaiah writes, for thou, he's speaking to God, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Have you ever taken thought of when we speak about heaven is up and we believe heaven is up and understand it's up? And here he speaks about it being the north. If we would be in China and we would say it's up, for them they would look up, but for us it would be down. It wouldn't be up anymore. And so if they look at us and we say, well, heaven is up for us here, they might look at us and say, well, then heaven's down for us because that's below us. Understanding and believing that the earth is round. And so where is up for everybody in the world? For everybody up is north. And interesting to find a verse like this where he says, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Is where Jesus or where God has the throne. As I continued, I spoke about, like I said, our Redeemer is the precious one that we are wanting to see in heaven. There's other precious people there, and that's our relationship. This morning, I want to continue on what else do we have in heaven? What is available to us today from heaven, from that place? An English word that we would use, resources. We have things available to us. We have, which we would call maybe tools that we could use, or material that we could use that come from heaven. Jesus, when he walked on earth, Jesus spoke many things. He left a lot of, there's a lot written about what he said. But one thing that I often refer to, a verse that's very dear to me, which often encourages me again and again, is in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, where Jesus calls and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." So what is available to us? What is something that God has for resource for us that we can have from him? Rest. We don't have to be burdened and run and run and try to get everything done and try to work our way to heaven. That is so common. And that's even something I have to remind myself. I have to remind myself many times, it's not your works that are going to bring you there. It's your faith. It's your faith believing in Jesus Christ. The works follow. For faith without works is dead, as James writes. But we do have the availability of getting rest. And then he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." We have the resources to learn from him. There's something there from heaven that he is willing to give us down, is to learn from him. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus has given us an opportunity, an availability of receiving a resource from him to stop working so hard and getting tired. You know, we may say through the time that we're living right now, we are just getting tired of this all. We are just sick and tired of waiting so long that the churches, the doors are not unlocked to everybody. But God says, "I'm going to give you rest. You don't have to put this burden upon yourself. I'm going to give you the peace." Jesus also says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world." And so there's another resource that he wants to give us. He wants to give us peace. Our God is a God that has many, many different things that we have available to us. There's gifts that come from above. Paul writes to them about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about that, and I will read some of that. And he says there in 1 Corinthians 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So for me this morning too, I want you not to be ignorant. I want you to know there are gifts available. And he says, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." And then he goes on and he says, "Now there are different types of gifts." There are different gifts, but he says they are all same from the same Spirit. In other words, Paul is saying the good gifts that are available, they all come from one resource, from one place. And that is from heaven, from God. And then he says, "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." They work different. They get used in different places. But it's still that same Lord that gives it. "There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." I suppose you could say that you could drive a nail or a screw in with a hammer. We could do it with both with that hammer. But tell me, how hard would it be to take a skill saw and try to put a nail into something with a skill saw? It's definitely easier with a hammer. It has its place. The tool gets used in the right place for the right meaning. So as he says, there's diversities of operations. We also see between ourselves, we all have different gifts, being able together to build something, being able to manufacture something so that further things can be manufactured. There's those that are gifted to take and work with metal to thaw, to heat it up, and to take the metal out of the rock, to separate it, working with that. And from there, the metal gets formed into different pieces to make tools, which we use in many different ways also. And so he goes on, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, if we all had that same Spirit, if we all had one gift, that was to cut this wood, but we had nobody had the gift of putting that wood together and build these benches in church, we'd have nothing to sit on. All we would have is a pile of wood. But he says we have that same Spirit, but different manifestations. We have different gifts laying within there. And then he goes on, verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. So he gives various examples, and I'm sure he could have put that list much, much longer than what he did. But then in verse 11 he says, but all these things worketh one and that self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So where do these resources come from? The gifts that Paul is speaking about, they come from God. They come from the eternal Heavenly Father that has them available for us. Jesus himself says, ask and you shall receive. Do I, in my life, have times where I wish I could do this, I wish I could do that? Yes, I do. I do. But you see, there's a problem that lays within me. And the problem that lays within me is the flesh that my soul is in. The flesh that my soul is living in desires to be praised and to be worshipped earthly. Because of that, many times I feel that I cannot move forward. And feeling strong enough to go forward and say, God, I would love some more of these gifts. That is because me, myself, my body itself would like to boast. If I had those gifts to be able to do those things, I would be able to go around and boast. And so now I have to fight. I have to make that choice to say, Lord, I covet that gift, as he talks about in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Desire them. He encourages us, Paul, to desire the best gifts, but not to boast about oneself. You see, the works that a man does is not what saves us. It's our belief in Jesus Christ, and the works follow. The works are something that come from God, not something from ourselves. So what else resource do we have from God? We have a resource of a comforter. We have a resource of receiving something so that we can have so we can be a witness for God. Jesus says in John 15, verse 26 to 27, he says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father," Jesus promises this, that he will send that from the Father, "even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." You see, this gift that God has available, the resource that he has available for us, is to send us the Comforter of the Holy Spirit. And then we can go out and we can bear witness of that Comforter. We can bear witness of that Spirit of God to others. You know, conversations, I believe they will vary from house to house. We have different things that we talk about, but I believe in every home throughout the last year or so, it's maybe not quite a big year, but it's almost a year now since this started, this COVID. I think I could say in every home there has been some conversation about it. Possibly discouragement, possibly anger that has set into the home because of it. So how did I and you bear witness? Did we find the Comforter of the Holy Spirit to walk with us during this last year? Or did we find that the devil had his way in to climb into us and set anger, discouragement? And he has many tools that he uses through that to make a person unhappy. How did I bear witness this last year? Was I one that walked wherever I walked? And it's hard, I guess we could say, it's hard to give somebody a smile when you have a mask on your face. But the odd time I've pulled it down and let people see that, yeah, I'm smiling behind here. And we need to. We need each other's smile. How do we bear witness? Do we have the Comforter within us? Do we find the peace in our life? In the world you will have tribulation, Jesus speaks about in John 16, verse 33. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So how do we draw people to the resources? How do we encourage others to be drawn in closer to heaven? Jesus has words, many, many words, as I shared before. But Jesus has words in John 6, verse 44. And Jesus says this, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and then I will raise him up at the last day." So what resource do we have for this person that doesn't have Jesus Christ? You and I have a resource to pray. We have an availability for us to pray that God will release the Holy Spirit to the man, to the woman that don't have Jesus Christ. And ask God, please send your Spirit to draw that person. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. You and I need to pray that God will draw that person to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What other resource do we have? These are resources that we have that come to us, that we can get, that are available to us here on earth. But what do we have that is there waiting for us First Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, read as follows. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Listeners, we have something that we can inherit. And he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. That fadeth not away. So there is something that we can inherit. That is the eternal life. The crown of righteousness, if we keep reading different scripture verses. But you see, the last part of that verse, verse 4, to me is powerful. The way Peter puts it in verse 4, and I'm going to read the first part and fill in the last couple of words. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It is reserved there for us. We have an eternal place waiting for everyone that is born again, every repentant sinner. Are we heirs of him? Have we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have we repented of our sins? Are we born again believers? Paul writes in Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We can't fool God. We can't fool God's Spirit, but the Spirit itself beareth witness, it says, with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, he says, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffered with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, if our spirit is in tune with God's Spirit, if we've accepted the Spirit of God and become his children, then we are heirs. Then we have an inheritance. We have something reserved for us, as Peter talks about, in heaven. And we become joint heirs of Jesus Christ, as Paul speaks about. We become part of his body, we could also say. So my question then goes on, where do you live? Where is your residence? Do you have a place that you call home? Earthly? Yes, we do. Numerous of you that are listening. And obviously, I don't know who's all listening, but that's fine. I don't need to know that. But what I'm going towards is, how many of you were not born in Canada? How many of you were born out of the country of Canada? Whether U.S., Mexico, Bolivia, Paraguay, the list goes on. You're not a citizen of Canada at that time, are you? So what do? You apply for citizen. You want to become a Canadian, you apply for citizenship. You have to go through a process to become a citizen of Canada. Friends, there's a citizenship that we can have. That's eternal life in heaven. There's a way to go about it to get our citizenship in heaven. I love, as one man said, that I was listening to on this a bit, this message of his. He put it this way, and he said, actually, we are here, down here on earth, we are here with a visa. You know, when you come into a different country, you work there for a year or two, you sometimes go there with a visa just to be there for a while. And so here on earth, we are here on earth with a visa. But our citizenship is not of this earth. And so, if you and I are born again Christian, our citizenship is not earth or hell. Our citizenship is with Jesus, is with God in heaven. So what do? Do I set my affections upon things of the earth because that's where my earthly citizenship, where I want that? Or where do I want my citizenship to be? Paul says, set your affections on the things above and not on the things of the earth. Set your desires on those things that are, in other words, eternity. Those things that are above in the heaven where God and the Son, Jesus Christ, are. Why look up? Why should we look up? Well, maybe I could say, look around you. If we look around us, just around us here, and look down, does that not depress us? Does that not sometimes discourage us with things as they're going on around us? That's why I believe Scripture teaches us, look up. When we look up, we find strength, we find help. How can I know? How can I know that I have my citizenship in heaven? We need to reserve it. We need to reserve it. If this was my last message, if this was the last time that I had a chance to speak to you, what would I say? Today I would say, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you're a sinner and you're not saved, change your life today. There is a place called heaven, but that's only reserved for those that have repented, have changed their life, have accepted Jesus Christ. I've done numerous weddings, and I always have a couple of papers that I send along with them that they need to fill out and bring back to me. And one of the questions that I have for them, the first one, I should say, starts off with, are you a Christian? And they can answer that, yes or no. If yes, what do you base your salvation on? Makes them think. What do you base your salvation on? I base mine on Jesus Christ, who died for me, who shed his blood for me. The second question would go like this, or it goes like this. Do you know for certain that if you were to die right now, you would go to heaven? Do you know that? Do you know that if you were to die now, do you know in your heart you're ready to go to heaven? A place reserved for you. Numerous times, I will get an answer back, I don't know. And we live believing that we can hope to go there. If you don't know today, I'm hoping by the time I'm done, you will know if you can go there or not. Paul does talk in Romans 8, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Friends, the hope that he's talking about is not a hope that we hope we were going to be saved. It's a hope about believing and seeing in what we believed in. Romans 10, verse 9, Paul says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, that is Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's no questions here. If you believe, you confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. Okay, we could say, well, that's the words of Paul. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? John 3:16. Verse that we all know, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do we stop there? Whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do we stop there, or should I read further? I want to read further. I want to read two more verses further. For God sent not his Son into the world. This is Jesus saying this. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you believe in Jesus? Or do you not believe in Jesus? At the end of that chapter, John 3, verse 36, John writes this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you and I believe in Jesus? Jesus is offering today. He offered it then, and he's offering it today to each and every one of us, that if we want to, we can come to him. In John 7, verse 37, Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I've shared this with numerous of the young engaged couples that weren't sure. I said, Jesus says, are you thirsty? Come. Let him come and let him drink. Come, take of this water freely. And then he goes on in verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's results. First of all, Jesus offers us to come to drink, to take. Second of all, he says there's results. There'll be a result in our life. So what is that result? If we've gone to take that drink, if we've gone to accept, say that we accept Jesus Christ, I believe strongly that we have the result of what John speaks about in John chapter 3, where he says that Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, how, what must I do? Or he says to him, I know that thou doest a lot of miracles. And then Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. First of all, we need to be born again. We need to accept Jesus Christ to be able to see, to be able to understand. And then Nicodemus goes on and he asks another question, how can I do this? I can't go back into my mother's womb the second time to be born again. And Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To me, it's clear. Not to everybody, I believe that, but to me it's very clear. First thing is, we need to recognize we are sinners, but we have grace available to us. And in order to have that grace, we need to repent of our sins. Psalm 51, if you ever want to look up, there's beautiful, powerful words in there, how he acknowledges that he's a sinner. And he asks for forgiveness. And then he says, I will go out and I will turn others. I will change other people. Those are the results. And that's what Jesus speaks about when he says, come to me and take water to drink. And out of your belly will flow the living water. So today, if you believe in your heart, you've accepted Jesus, you have taken of that water, truly in your life, there will be results. There will be seen in your life that you are living for the Lord and you are a soul winner, as the song speaks about. But if you're not, you're probably struggling today, worried, where am I going? Say, I'm saying this morning, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, bring it to the cross, ask God for forgiveness, and then allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, and let that Spirit nudge you to the step that Jesus taught is towards baptism. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit may continue to work until this world comes to an end. Lord, that your Spirit would become stronger in the time that we're living right now to actually draw more people to true knowledge and to true repentance. That there would not be less people when the church doors will be reopened again by the government law, that there will be more people desiring to come to church and not less. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon that. Bless the words that have been shared this morning, and may they multiply for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to quickly, briefly say, I've gone a little bit far here with my time, sorry, but I want to say this morning that, Lord willing, tomorrow evening, for those that are listening, and if you know of anyone that is maybe not listening, I would like to just say to you that catechism classes, we have planned to start them tomorrow evening here at church at 7 p.m. So if there's anybody that would like to get baptized, and maybe there's some that say, "Not, I'm not maybe ready this year, but I'd like to come to catechism classes," by all means, feel free. Come to the catechism classes starting tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. here in the Bothwell Church. Thank you again, and I just want to close with the last two verses of Jude, Jude 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless.